design with a forward-looking economic cost methodology that the FCC requires. Let's talk about some of the lack of proof, if you will. FCC Rule 51.505 requires an efficient network configuration, which they further define as the lowest cost configuration of the network, reflecting current technology and the existing location of RLEC wire centers. Now, I will talk about the assumption, for example, of an OC192 transport system in all interoffice rings. That is a very large system. Over 5,000 DS1 circuits can ride on that. They have not proven that that is an efficient, lowest cost alternative. They have assumed the same hardware and software, if you will, at each of their host switches, and then the same hardware and software at each of their remote or non-host switches, with no distinction as to size. Again, no proof of lowest cost configuration. That's their obligation. They've also failed to prove that certain switching costs, the common switching costs, are usage sensitive. Critical issue, and I'll talk about that. They have failed to base their transport costs on projected demand, which is required clearly by Rule 51.511. Projected demand is not current demand, but rather demand that you expect in the future at what the FCC defines as a reasonable measuring period. Previously, when I filed my direct and reply testimony, I had found that they had failed to include the demand of other carriers, that is transit traffic, which is required by Rule 51.511. It's my understanding they've since modified the studies for that, but in that modification, they've still failed to adjust for their path method, and they failed to project forward-looking future transit traffic. So their adjustment still doesn't go all the way. I will show evidence that I think demonstrates that the trunk utilization, that is the number of minutes that you have per year on a trunk, is not efficient. They have failed to demonstrate that that's efficient, and that's a requirement of 51.505. I also found that some of the key methods that are used in the study are incorrect. By incorrect, I mean not in my judgment, but rather in comparison to the FCC rules. They've used what I've referred to as sort of a cookie-cutter approach in their network configuration. That is, they assume an OC192 system for all rings. And there are other examples of that that I'll talk about. I disagree with their interpretation of usage-sensitive versus non-usage-sensitive, and I'll point out both the conceptual underpinnings for that determination, but I'll also point out that the FCC Common Carrier Bureau and other states have found a different definition of usage and non-usage sensitive switching. The measurement of transport demand in terms of paths, where you treat one circuit regardless of bandwidth as the same and therefore having the same cost, is a fundamental problem. It shifts an inordinate amount of cost of transport to voice traffic, which is the same traffic that the wireless carriers are involved in. And so it makes the transport cost very high. So what I'm going to recommend is that the Commission determine the necessary corrections. It's not an all or nothing. You can take each issue one at a time and based on the evidence decide it. And then once that's done, the studies can be rerun. That's what happened in the Missouri case that I was involved in. That's what happened in the California case that I was involved in. Both of those have been in the last 2 or 3 years. All right, now what I'd like to do is I'd like to get into some specifics about how costs are calculated. I'd like to give you a good understanding of that. And then within the context of that, I want to talk about the issues. I've got to talk about confidential information from this point forward.
Okay, we will go off the web.